You're listening to a special edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. We continue our candidate conversations with more from the Democratic primary for governor, where we now turn to Matt Meyer. Meyer is in his second term as Newcastle County Executive, an office he first won in 2016. He was reelected in 2020. A reminder, the interviews you hear here on The Green are edited for time. Full conversations are online at DelawarePublic.org. Oftentimes when people talk about the governor, the big piece of the way the governor drives an agenda is through their budget proposal. What I'm curious is, would you be active beyond that in presenting proposals or initiatives to the General Assembly to drive the agenda?
We have a vision for where this state needs to go. Today, there are 17 schools in Delaware. 17 schools in Delaware with single-digit proficiency in math or reading. That means, according to test scores, which I know are not 100% accurate and an accurate depiction of what's going on, but clearly we have a problem. That means in 17 schools, less than 10% of our students can read, write, or do math on grade level. That is not acceptable. So does that take vision? Yes. Does it take leadership? Yes. Does it mean sticking your neck out sometimes to make sure teachers are treated right, to make sure paraprofessionals are paid more than people packing your Amazon boxes? That's right. And if it means getting in there and getting dirty with the state legislature, making sure we're pushing to move things forward, making sure we're building allies to move platforms forward, absolutely. We need to take specific action. If the state legislature is like, well, hemming and hawing, we need leadership to get in there. Some of that will come from me and some of it will come from others to make sure we get the platforms, policies, and laws through and execute them properly and evaluate them properly to make sure we're protecting Delawareans.
Building on that just a little bit, most governors have some kind of signature initiative or legislation they pursue. The late Governor Ruth Ann Minnert was the indoor smoking ban. Former Governor Markell had things like language immersion and career pathways. The current Governor John Carney, Wilmington Learning Collaborative, budget smoothing. What do you see as being perhaps what might be your signature agenda items that you would want to pursue?
We got to address issues in our schools immediately, particularly in lower income communities, but also for all communities. There are too many Delawareans who want to live in Delaware, who choose to live in Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey, simply to get a quality public education. We need to turn that around. Healthcare. My wife is an emergency room physician. The situation right now in emergency rooms across our country is embarrassing. Across our country. In Delaware, it's particularly embarrassing. Our goal will be to have the highest quality emergency rooms in the state and also improve the accessibility and affordability of healthcare.
Well, I want to talk about some of those issues a little bit more in depth in a moment, but I do want to get to one other thing first, and that is the budget. Because history tells us the next governor will face at least one economic downturn, serious economic downturn, where you walk in to a budget year and you're down hundreds of thousands of dollars in
hundreds
revenue.
Hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of millions. I'm sorry, hundreds of millions. My apologies. How would you handle that type of situation? It's more of a crisis situation in trying to balance the budget.
Well, first of all, I'm the only candidate who's ever dealt with a situation like that. I was elected in 2016, a sixth and seventh grade math teacher who suddenly was in the middle of a county budget crisis with a state government that was threatening to reduce transfer tax, which is one of our biggest revenues one of our largest revenues at the county, and a budget that my predecessor left me that was thoroughly out of balance with expenses far exceeding our revenues. And after 8 years, I can say not only have we had a balanced budget 8 out of 8 years, I'm the only county executive ever to actually reduce property taxes. And we did that while adding all sorts of services to the public. I've done it at the county. The way I'll do it in the state is first, I personally, with my team, need to go line by line through the state budget. It's hard. More than $6 billion budget. There's a lot there. And there's a lot of I found in the county waste and abuse that you can find. Hey, let's get down to what are the core of services and what's the core of what Delawareans want and need. Now, to be clear, that does not mean, it must not mean, cutting out nonprofits that are critical to the service delivery in our state. Those are absolutely critical. And traditionally, in hardest times, those are cut. That is not my intention. What we're going to do is try and find waste and abuse. We think it's there. We can also find other revenue sources, both the federal government with competitive grants, but also by looking at our tax structure. Today, Tom, we are, with the exception of the states that have no income tax. I imagine we are probably the only state in the country where if you and your family make $70,000 a year, you pay the same tax rate as someone who makes $70 million a year, right? That's not acceptable. That's not right. There's opportunities there to raise additional revenue to address a shortfall.
So let's talk about some more issues. We'll start with one we haven't quite talked about, or you haven't talked about just yet, and that is affordable housing, because that has become a really big issue across the state. Where and how do you feel the state can be most effective at addressing it? I guess what I've kind of asked a lot of candidates is this a big solution issue or a creating a toolbox of smaller solutions type of issue in your mind?
I think it's a big toolbox issue in several respects. First of all, the Hope Center was a model. It was something we created as a pilot. We need to learn from them and make sure there are similar facilities in Kent and Sussex County, emergency housing facilities for those most in need. In addition, there's a crisis of affordability. Affordable housing developer was telling me this morning that you can't find a starter home. You cannot find a starter home in Newcastle County today for less than $500,000. I know in Sussex and Kent, the situation is similarly in crisis. The way we're going to address this, first, there are a number of tools. We've done a number of them at the county in collaboration with Habitat for Humanity and others, lowering the rental cost for many families. But we're also going to look at supply-demand issues. What we need to do is build additional supply. By one estimate I saw, in the next 2 to 3 decades, 20, 25, 30 years, Delaware needs about 50,000 additional housing units. It's going to take hard decisions. We're going to have to look at zoning across our state. We're not going to build everywhere, but we're going to be strategic about saying, okay, we can't take every green space and decimate it and build houses on it. So we're going to make sure we increase the green space while having housing units, having pathways to actually develop housing in some places in concentrated ways, in dense ways to move forward.
Let's head back to education, which you addressed earlier. When we spoke in May, you expressed support for the recommendation in the education funding report produced as part of the education funding equity lawsuit, talking about spending an additional $600 million to $1.1 billion per year for education. I got the numbers right that time. Lawmakers did, since we talked, create a public education funding commission to look at that funding structure in the coming months. How would you expect that group's finding to inform your approach? Or do you, when it comes to funding, already have a vision that you want to pursue, that you want to aggressively go after?
So first thing to know, in our county government, my staff talks about Meyer time. Because if they know if they come to me and say, we're forming a commission to do that, that's fine. Public input is great. It needs to happen fast. It needs to happen with urgency. We are right now today allocating funding using a formula that was written in the 1940s. It needs to change and change with urgency. Our policy, which is available on our website, mattmeyer.org, has been very clear that we believe that per student allocations need to increase on average $3,500 to $6,500 per student. We've also been clear that the current unit count system the state uses, where sort of every student gets the same allocated amount, does not make sense in a 21st century world. We have ideas and thoughts about how the formula should be weighted. We think there particularly has to be investment and work by my team in the governor's office, by the Department of Education, and each individual school district and school to make sure and guarantee to taxpayers that their funds are not being spent on disproportionately on administration, that funds are going directly to the classroom and directly benefiting the student.
You mentioned healthcare earlier, cost and access, stubborn issues in this state. Delaware has one of the highest costs of care in the nation while struggling to attract and retain providers and specialists. Plays out in a lot of areas. We saw this year specifically with state employees and retirees, more specifically, also an aging population that requires specialists and care that maybe is not as accessible as it should be. Lawmakers did work on the state retiree benefits side this year, also created the Hospital Cost Review Board, though ChristianaCare is currently suing over the legality of that. It's a long way of asking you, what would you advocate to prioritize cost and access in Delaware in terms of healthcare?
So one of the biggest problems I see is just a lack of providers. Doctors, nurses, particularly acute in Sussex County, where you have seniors that have moved here at higher rates than I think many expected, and there simply aren't doctors for them. So they have to wait 3 months, 4 months, 8 months to get a doctor. And there's some of that in Newcastle County too. So one thing is, how do we attract and retain medical professionals that we need? Doctors, physician's assistants, nurses, med techs. We need to look at residencies, the number and specialization of residencies to make sure we're attracting people. We have to look at programs that that address some of the student loan burden for doctors and nurses, practitioners, to make sure that they know if they go to higher needs areas to serve, they're not going to make less money. They're actually going to get an easier financial burden.
How about the cost side of things?
Cost is challenging because it's so heavily regulated from the federal government. Mm-hmm. You can't just, as a governor, and like with education, you have quite a bit of control. With housing, you have quite a bit of control in changing the system. In healthcare, it's more challenging, but we really have to look closely at competitive dynamics across the state. There are too many sort of monopolies within healthcare insurance. We're going to look hard at these and what can we do to develop the appropriate incentives for providers to bring costs down.
You mentioned climate earlier, and I know we talked about climate the last time you and I sat down. And the state has taken some efforts to address climate change. Climate Change Solutions Act calling for zero net additions to greenhouse gases by 2050. Advanced Clear Car 2 program, 82% of new cars and trucks sent to Delaware for sale, zero emission by 2032. And the state has taken some baby steps toward procurement of offshore wind. I know when we talked before, you supported those initiatives as they're moving forward. What I want to ask now is, what do you say to those who are balking at those efforts, bemoaning what they call mandates or government overreach?
I, too, struggle with government mandates. I think, like in the car automobile market today, people should have a choice in what automobile to purchase. If it were up to me, I would incorporate the environmental cost into the actual cost. So people can make a choice about what vehicle they want. You just have to pay the cost. Like electric vehicles, right, as environmentally dynamic and improved that they are, still have a cost to the environment. And so I like to, and if you've seen how we've worked with companies at the county, I do not like picking winners and losers. I think particularly with electric vehicles, the technologies are changing quickly. Mm-hmm. We're at danger as a government if we say this technology is the end all be all. We may actually set back innovation rather than set it forward. I'm much more focused and interested, as we've shown at the county, on climate resiliency. We, not as like an abstract pie in the sky idea, but as a practical matter, are seeing a dramatic increase in rainfall, a dramatic increase in tornadoes. Tornadoes, like we had one tornado when I grew up here before I turned 18. And we had, I think, three in the past year or two. Mm. We need to make sure our community is prepared for it. We have to make sure land use policies across the state reflect that. We have to make sure we're working through DENREC and also with federal environmental and agricultural programs to make sure we are protecting Delawareans. We also have some historic opportunities. With the changing and transformation to a green economy, the massive investments, I think positive investments that the Biden administration has made into sustainable green energy solutions like wind, like solar, like green hydrogen. We really have an opportunity here in Delaware to be the first green energy self-sustaining state, which sounds like, oh, that's wonderful for the environment, which it is, but it's also wonderful for the economy.
I do want to circle back to the issue of transparency and accountability, which you referenced earlier, because this is a time where there seems to be a stronger distrust of government and perhaps maybe more specifically politicians themselves. What role do you feel this office and you personally can play in giving Delaware a sense they're getting greater transparency and accountability?
The level of accountability and transparency by the state government today is not acceptable. In 2024, as I've shown in Newcastle County government, you need to put documents online. One of the first things I did is I did an open checkbook, which means that any dollar we spend in county government of your tax dollar, you can see it online as easily as you can see your own bank statement. As I like to say, it ain't my money, it's your money and it's our money. That's also true with documents where we're going to work hard to make sure many documents, you don't even need to wait to FOIA them. We would just make them publicly available. So we're going to look at transparency in every way. I've come out very fervently in support of an inspector general. That's an independent office that can analyze every level of state government, including the governor's office, to see what we can do to make sure we're more transparent, accountable, and efficient to serve Delawareans.
That's Democratic candidate for Governor Matt Meyer. Our full conversation with him is available at DelawarePublic.org. And we'll hear from another Democrat running for governor, Colin O'Hara, next here on The Green on Delaware Public Media.